Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I need your likes and your hearts, because I need the amens, because we got a quiet group in the sanctuary today. I don't know what's wrong with them. All right. They must have stayed up late last night. Didn't get any sleep or anything like that. I don't know what's wrong with them. So I'm going to need y'all help. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Do you know it's really simple to set the course of your life forever? That if you know God and obey him, the course of your life is perennially set just by obeying him. That's just too easy, isn't it? Lord, have mercy. Verse 3, listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit. Somebody shout commit. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, on last week, we began to really take a look at what we really know about love and actually what it means to both receive the love of God and then to learn how to love God properly. I will introduce something as a concept right now, but I won't have time to get into it, because I want to pick up with some points that we actually missed on last week, that I missed on last week. But one of the things that we need to understand is that one of the reasons why some of us have difficulty loving God is because we first have difficulty receiving his love for us. What's really true is some of us have sold ourselves the lie that we're really not deserving of God's love. Okay? Here's breaking news. You ready? You're not. Neither am I. There's not a person alive who is actually deserving of the love of God, save for the fact that he says you do. So the fact that he says we deserve this love because he's made us deserving by his love towards us should cause us to never question the love of God for us ever again. I mean, it shouldn't be a question. I don't care, on your worst day, you should not question the love that God has for you. Because God's not like us. God's not going to break up with us because we did something he told us not to do. He might spank us. He might chastise us. He might send us to our room and ground us. But what he's not going to do is break up with us, because he's not like us in that regard. So when the Lord told you he loved you, he meant it forever and 2 days. He's not going to give up on you. He's never going to turn his back on you. He's never going to forget the promise, the covenant that he made to love you. And if he won't forget it, then you should feel safe in it. You should relax and chill, because on your worst day, you are loved by God as much as on your best day. The day you feel the most angelic, God says, I loved you just as much when you were still tripping, high, drunk, Just shout, you can't change the love of God. You really cannot change the love of God. But the problem that follows that is you and I learning not only how to receive his love, but how to love him properly. As a matter of fact, we presented on last week this particular thought, that our lives are limited to our level of love for the Lord. You cannot ascend any higher in life than your knowledge of, your devotion to, and your walk with God. So we need to learn how to love him properly. There's a point that I failed to present on last week in our discourse. I want to first correct that even before we move forward. And it is the point that's really expressed in verse 4 of the text. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. This is the direct press for the children of Israel at that time to understand that everything else that they have been presented with, even the worship of multiple gods of other nations, was not to be their lot. They were to be singular in their love, devotion, and obedience to only one God. That God is the only God. This means no other supposed deity, no other idol, no other person, no other activity was to share equal space with God. What he required, what he said was due to him, was due to him and nobody else, because he is the only God. And I want to make sure that I press this really good for us on this morning, that he is the only God. Please don't miss this. The Lord God Almighty, Elohim, Yahweh, is the only God. And I know that that's not proper ecumenical declaration. It's not a proper ecumenical declaration to make. I probably should, to be politically correct, Veronica, acknowledge the gods that other folk worship. I should acknowledge Allah, who the Muslims worship. I should acknowledge Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith. Certainly mention must be made of Vishnu, Krishna, and Brahman, not the purse, of the Hindu faith. I could ascend to Nirvana and make mention of Siddhartha Gautama, although he never claimed to be divine. And the whole host of religions and other deities, rites, faith systems practiced all over the world. I could acknowledge them, but in my acknowledgement, I could only acknowledge that those who believe in them have a right to do so. But I can only acknowledge that there is one true and living God. Because he is the only one, and he alone is to be worshipped. Understand this, that whatever you decide to put at the level of God does not make it God. Whatever path you choose to take to get to the higher power, the light of the universe, does not change the fact that God is God. His name is Jehovah Yahweh. And he says, this is the way you respond to me. Somebody's going to send me emails this week because I have not been kind. But there is only one God. So while I work with other faiths, when it comes time to pray, you say whatever you want to say. But while my head is bowed, trust me, we ain't talking to the same God.
Okay, all right.
That's a whole other series. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm so glad we already took up the offering. Because see, some of us, we play like there are multiple gods. There are multiple things people put as high as God. But there is only one God. Somebody shout, one God. He is the one that's supposed to be worshipped. He is the one that's supposed to be adored. He is the one that's supposed to be loved. He is the one that is supposed to be served. And he has a prescribed way that he wants to be served. We learned on last week that whatever we love God with, we must be willing to let go. Y'all forgot that part? Y'all didn't like that part. This is part of your homework. Whatever you love God with, you must be willing to let go. In other words, that God has to have unrestricted access to our lives. Do y'all remember that phrase from last week? We actually asked the question on last week, is there any piece of your life where God is not invited? Now, the homework was to make sure that you invited God into at least one new area of your life. I'm not going to ask you to turn in your homework because some of y'all are going to lie and say the dog ate it. But we're supposed to give to God unrestricted access because there is no piece of me that God should be kept away from. All right? Now, let me tell you why that's important. Because as we're learning to obey God as the way we show our love for him, we understand that the obedience factor plays the central role in the expression of a person's love for God. Obedience, not service. Obedience, not money. Obedience, not how many scriptures you know. Obedience, not how many ministries you're on. But the obedience is supposed to come from a life that loves the Lord, not from a life that's just following the rules. Is this too simple? Should I have worn a robe today and yelled at you? The real trip is that this is the way the Lord says you are to love him. You show you love him by obeying him, but your obedience cannot come from some legalistic following of the rules, just doing what he said. Because a lot of us know that we'll do something because we have to do it, but that doesn't mean we enjoy doing it. There's a flood of examples that are coming to my mind, none of which are probably appropriate right now. But if I were to suggest, in some relationships, sometimes you do what you don't want to do. I'll let that one go in your imagination. You play with it however you want. You understand what I'm saying? Alexis, you with me. I know you are. So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Not all of what we do. Some of us are diligent to be in the work on time. That don't mean you love to do it. It's just mean that you follow the rules. And you'll know whether or not you love to do it when your boss is not there. Because that'll be the time you're not on time. Oh, y'all act like y'all don't hear me today. I ain't seen a like or a heart in 4 minutes. They don't like nothing I'm saying. So now I got to depend on y'all. Look, 8 people in here, and I got to depend on y'all because don't nobody want to say amen. God actually has this weird idea, Mother Jo, that you would love to obey. This is why I came down here, so I could be real close, because they don't zoom in close enough for me. God has this weird expectation that you would love to obey, that you would see obedience as God's requirement of you to do what you agree with him is best for your life. Which actually suggests, Jada, that if you don't do it, you don't agree with what God says is best for your life. And so now you put yourself in the place of God because you believe you know what's best. Should I come closer? I'll move this up. Okay. So Lord says, I want you to love me. Are you ready? With all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Somebody shout all. Now, something that bothered me on last night, Kenesha, when I thought I was just reading over my notes. The word all struck me a little bit differently. Because to emphasize all three times is to suggest the possibility of fractured love. Okay. I'm really trying here. Israel, let me remind you, is responsible for loving God with her whole being, heart, soul, and strength, all. If God wants and is asking for all, then by simple implication, that means some only offer a part, a portion, or a fragment. Here's the problem with some of us. We've really chosen to follow God, but we are only following him with parts of ourselves. And not all of ourselves. We give to him a splinter of our heart, a piece of our soul, a quart of our strength. Can I ask you a question? You ain't gonna like me. You already don't. Are you only giving God pieces of you? I need First Lady here because she would really support right now and give me the strength that I need, because this church. I'm finna go back to the district church. Pastor Boyd, can I come back? Because my church real, 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 real quiet. See what I'm saying? Even when my daddy tells them to say amen, they don't say nothing. I know y'all heard him. David Guzik, in his commentary on Deuteronomy, explains what God most wants from us is our love. We often think that God demands 100 other things from us. Our money, our time, our effort, our will, our submission, and so on. But what God really wants is our love. When we really love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, everything else becomes a free gift given to him. Because if we give the Lord all the rest, the money, the time, the effort, the will, and so forth, without giving him our love, it's all wasted. And maybe it's all lost. Think about it. I can give God the best of my service, but if I don't love him, the best of my service means nothing. I can give God 30% of my money, but if I don't love God, the 30% of my money means nothing. I would still encourage you to give it. The church lives off of your financial support, and we would encourage you to still try that. You just go right ahead and keep giving the 30%, but learn to love God. Never mind, I'm sorry. That's for the people, you know, who will write the email this week and say, all they want is money. See, I told you. If we give God a whole bunch of service, work on every ministry, and don't love him, here now, and as much as I hate to admit it, read, here now is the problem a lot of us have seen during the pandemic. Because we love God with Sunday. We love God with our presence at his house. And then when we couldn't give him that, which we didn't mind giving him, we had nothing else to offer. Because we didn't ever give, honestly commit to him all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. We committed all of our body for 2 hours on Sunday apiece. But here's the trip. We want all of him for a piece of us. Okay. All right. It's like eight people in the room that their eyes look like I'm doing all right, but the mask is on. I can't even tell if I'm preaching good. Don't worry. I got 3.5 minutes left. I'll leave you alone. Watch this. You got to stop wanting all of him and only giving pieces of you. You wouldn't put up with that in no other relationship. You name one relationship that you have where you will give all of yourself and accept a piece, a splinter, or a pint of what they really have to give. As a matter of fact, you will break up with them faster than they kick that boy off the Temptations. You'll be gone so fast, you wouldn't stay. But we want all of him. But we give pieces of us. We want all of his love for a portion of ours. We want all of his blessings for 2-minute prayers when we are in trouble. And then when the prayer isn't answered the way we think it should have been, we scratching our heads trying to figure out why God doesn't speak to me. Can I tell you why God may not be speaking to you? Because he may not recognize your voice. Maybe you don't talk to him enough. What? You tell me, where else can you go and be the least connected and the most blessed? That don't work on your job. Okay, let me hurry up. That minute and a half went by real quick. Watch this. It's when you only give God pieces of you that it's easier to disobey. Yeah, I'm going to have to go home on this point right here. I'm going to need a chicken sandwich. Watch this. Every space of your life where God is either not invited or with which God is not given all is an open opportunity to disobey. I keep it's good. Lady Hill is gone. Watch this. Terrari. I keep in my wallet a couple of dollars folded up real tight. It's stuck up behind my driver's license and my concealed weapons permit. It's just tucked up in there, right? I tucked it up in there, Tori, so that if ever I wanted to do something and didn't have to explain, didn't want it seen as a debit on the account that she has access to, you know what I'm saying? I just tucked it away for safekeeping. You know what I'm saying? You know, so occasionally, this really used to happen a lot when we were younger and money was a little tighter. Lady Kim would be like, hey, well, need to be spending no money now. You know, because she administrates the household, you know what I'm saying? So look, now we got some stuff we're trying to do. You don't need to be spending money unnecessarily. All right, babe, I got you. We good. And then I come home with something new. And she's not quick to say anything because she don't see what money was spent on it. It's because I had intentionally withheld something that was inaccessible to her and for which I didn't have to give accountability. May the Lord watch. That ain't what I say. What I say? Some of us have got little pieces of the stuff we like tucked away, inaccessible to God, unaccountable to anybody, including yourself. And so it's hidden. And sometimes, like I did the other day, you forget it's there until you bump into it. And the moment you get reminded of it, you want to make use of it. And this is what happens when we don't give God all of us. There becomes this little thing that we, even if we go 2 years and don't do that sin, because you never gave that to God. Because here's the thing. I'm going to drop this on you, and I'm going to close the book. Watch this. Watch this. One of the implications of loving God with all your heart, and we're going to get into this next week, is giving God both your good and your evil nature. It's choosing to say, I'm flawed. I do stupid stuff. I make bad decisions. But God, you can have that too. God, I'm not going to just give you the pieces of me that really want to live for you. I'm going to give you the pieces of me that I don't even pray about. I'm going to give you the parts of me that I don't talk to nobody about. I'm going to give you the parts of me that allow me to hold on to something that I can control, because there are things about me that allow me to be me. But I don't want to be me. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be the one that loves you so much I keep nothing for myself, because I trust that what you have for me is actually what's best for me. Ooh, that's so scary. That's so scary. And honestly, Elder Rhett, if he didn't love me, it would be no deal. But it's because he loves me that I can give him even the ugliest parts of me and know that he's not going to break up with me. He's not going to throw me away. He's not going to say, oh, God, I didn't know you did that. Never mind. We can't do this. That's not how God is going to respond to me. He's going to continue to love me. And now the onus is on me to make sure that I learn how to love him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to love you. Today, particularly, I pray that you would help us to not hold on to anything, to not keep anything from you. Thank you that you are fully prepared in your love for us to take the ugliest parts of us and use those things for your own glory, even if only to wash them completely away from us so that we will be free of those entanglements, free of the bondage that comes from trying to hide things from you. Father, I pray that this week we will pursue an open and honest relationship with you, giving you even the ugly parts of ourselves, because this is how you desire to be loved. When the Lord Jesus met the woman at the well, and the conversation shifted to worship, Jesus said to her that God seeks those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, this week to worship you with truth. In Jesus' name. I believe that one of the ways we love God with truth is by acknowledging the fact that we can't lead our own lives, we can't rule things. We're not the best captains.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida, 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.